So it's been a busy week. I haven't had a lot of time for sermon preparation. What have you got? Anything? What you got? Oh, there's always one in the crowd. They just read God's Spirit will be poured forth on everybody. Y'all means all, right? Spirit is for all of us. I came across an odd story this week. You know how we observe a lot of anniversaries, especially this time of year. In a few weeks, it will be the 50th anniversary of Stonewall Uprising. We've observed the 75th anniversary of D-Day. This anniversary happened last year, much, much less important than all of those. You might have missed it. Last year was the 50th anniversary of the release of the Yellow Submarine album by the Beatles. And they re-released and remixed the film and showed it. Did anybody see it? I didn't see it. This kind of just blew right over me. But what I read was that being a mere child back then, I remember the album because one of my older brothers got it and played it nonstop. What I didn't know was that when the album and the film hit this country, it gave rise to Yellow Submarine churches. I'm not making this up. Anybody want to confess you were part of a Yellow Submarine church back then? Yellow Submarine churches. They adopted the Yellow Submarine and put a cross on the periscope. And, of course, along with it were peace signs and flowers and all of that. This was the late 60s. But there were enough of these churches that after a year they had a directory across the country, and there were like 40 or 50 of them. Their logo was the submarines are surfacing. And, of course, the other logo, you can guess this one, all you need is, yeah. Some people are thinking, wow, I would be up for that church. Some of you are thinking, that is the strangest thing I've ever heard. We have a lot of new church models these days. That has been happening for a couple of decades now. As things change and shift in Christianity, we're seeing dinner church, and we're seeing churches at pubs and bowling alleys and street corners and all sorts of other models, but nothing quite like Yellow Submarine Church. I'm not sure what it would be today, what we would draw from pop culture. Maybe Beyonce's lemonade churches or Game of Thrones church. That's scary. That's just downright scary, yeah. But the Yellow Submarine Church had something in common with the early church. It was a movement. It was a movement. That's what the early church was. The original followers had experienced the brutal death of their founder, of Jesus. Some had witnessed his appearance with them, his being with them after his death, after his resurrection. People had varying degrees of experience with Jesus. Some, as the movement continued, had no direct experience. But on Pentecost, the earliest disciples were gathered together in a locked room, afraid. And they experienced something so powerful that it moved them out of that fear and into the town itself and in with people. It was a movement, and it emboldened them. I'm guessing when people ask you about your faith, you probably don't start with the line, "Yeah, I'm part of a movement." But you are. We are. Movements are active, always changing, even though the core stays the same. Movements have times of challenge and hardship and fluidity and times of prosperity and sometimes too much prosperity, and then they become institutions, which is another whole sermon for another day. Some movements don't last, like the Yellow Submarine churches, to the best of my knowledge. We are not the same church we have always been. we stick to, we hold fast to the same core. But things shift. People come and go. We continue to do what this church has done for 119 years, which is try to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ in very real and loving and compassionate and open and just ways. How we express that can change over time. But we are part of this Jesus movement, instructed to love one another, to love all of God's creation. So this movement was born on Pentecost, and Peter, as they go out into the square, Peter starts talking to all the people, explaining what's going on, and he says there will be portents. How many of you have used the word portent in the past week? We it just means signs. It can be good signs or it can be bad signs. So turn to somebody next to you and say, I see portents of, and fill in the blank. Go ahead. Lighten up. Just look at somebody. I see portents that it's going to rain for 5 more days. I see portents that this is a strange sermon, and I'm not sure why I came to. But Peter said there are going to be portents, and some of them are going to be terrifying. Some of them are going to be wonderful. But through all that happens, the Spirit will be with us. The Spirit will be with us and hold us together. Our graduates have been and will be moved by the Spirit. They might name it in different ways. They might call it coincidence or luck or intuition or something just eating at them for a while. But the Spirit will be moving them, and the Spirit will be with them always, and all of us, young and old and in between, male and female and in between, all of us, the Spirit moves us as individuals, but mainly as a community. Nothing makes me happier than when children, young people who have had formative years here in church and grow on to be adults, and they contact me every now and then and say, hey, I'm in town, can we talk? I want to catch you up. Or they'll call and say, hey, this is happening, can you pray? And I know that this community has had an impact on their lives, that the Spirit is still moving in their lives in wondrous ways. It was never really about personal piety, but about what happens when a group of people trust that the Spirit is with them together. They were together in that upper room, and then the Spirit moved them, and together meant something wholly different. The Spirit kept expanding and expanding what together meant. So let me tell you about my week a little bit, at least part of it. On Monday morning, after all of you good souls had packed up the U-Haul cargo van last Sunday afternoon, Alice and I climbed, and I mean climbed, into this van, and we drove to Pennsylvania. And as we, and it, everything went so smoothly, and as we got into that Lebanon, Lancaster area, it's so gorgeous, but I started to worry. I started to get anxious. I started to think, what if this is an awful place? What if we pull in and it's crumbling buildings? What if it's something out of a Dickens novel? And we've done this for nothing. And we drove through this gorgeous, lush farmland, rolling hills. We came around one last turn, and there on the left, spreading out before us, was Bethany Children's Home, the most beautiful campus, some very, very old buildings and some very new ones, and a lovely pond and a lake, a pool at one part. And we pull in to the building where we were to go, and there is a line of young staff cheering for us. And these beautiful staffers have just been hired with this grant, and they mostly Latino young people who are going to be there working with these migrant kids. And they helped us unload, and we were joking and talking. And then Alice and I went and sat at a kitchen table with Carolyn, who is on staff always with helping with Bethany. And we peppered her with questions, and she asked us, and it became clear. The Spirit is in this place. This is a good place. And they were moved to agree to welcome wave after wave of migrant children for the next 3 years if needed, 65 at a time. And we were moved to do what we could. And you were moved to go out and buy jeans and soccer balls and books and pajamas and sneakers. And the Spirit brought us all together. And it was holy. It was holy. And that's how the Spirit works. That's not going to fix what's wrong with our immigration system right now. But for children who are going to get left off of the Trailways bus with nothing but what they're wearing, and who are going to get to play soccer in the open sunshine and swim in the pool and sit and learn in classes, it means everything. And that's the Spirit. How do we know the Spirit is what's moving us? We know because the Spirit moves us towards life in abundance. The Spirit moves us in ways that expand our hearts and our lives and our circles. The Spirit sometimes disrupts us, but does not destroy or tear down. Sometimes the Spirit moves us with a quiet whisper, and sometimes she shouts at the top of her lungs, grabbing our attention and taking our breath away. Sometimes the Spirit sheds just enough light for us to see the best next step. To see not what we can't do, but what we can. We can't control that Spirit, but we can watch for the movement. The submarine churches had it partly right. All you need is love and a willingness to trust that Spirit. May it always be so for us. Amen.